So we read from Galatians chapter 2 and from verse 1 to verse 10. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek Gentile, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me, God accepts no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. But when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Speak to us, we pray. Bless us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In the first part of Galatians chapter 1, we looked at the idea of no other gospel. No other gospel. Any other gospel is a different gospel. And last week, the second part of chapter 1, Paul's gospel. And tonight, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, the one and only gospel.
Amen.
There is no other. You see, when Paul preached the gospel, his gospel challenged. His good news challenged. It came directly from God.
Yes.
Not from man. And it shows. This gospel was the same gospel that the other apostles were preaching. There was no difference. The gospel, Paul's gospel, the apostles' gospel,
yes,
the one and only gospel, there was no difference. The gospel is by grace, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Yes.
They are the key areas as Paul proclaimed the gospel. Any gospel that included works was not the gospel. Because Paul's gospel, the apostles' gospel, was a gospel of salvation which was wholly and completely from God. It was his work,
yes,
by grace, through faith. Not what we can do, but what God can do. And in this chapter 2 tonight, Paul has been preaching that gospel of salvation by grace through faith. He's been preaching that gospel now since he was saved. He's been preaching it for 14 years. So when he's coming to Jerusalem, as we've read that tonight from chapter 2, he's not coming really to check out whether his gospel is right or not. He knows that the gospel he's preaching is the gospel he received from God. He got it by revelation from God. His coming is not to check out his gospel to see whether he's preaching the right one. He knows what he's preaching.
Right.
He knows it's the right one. He knows it's from God. But he's coming, this visit to Jerusalem, after 14 years, he's coming, as it says in verse 2, by revelation. He's had a revelation from God to come to Jerusalem. This is not a checkup on the accuracy of his gospel. He knows who he has believed. He is persuaded that he is able to keep that which is committed to him against that day. He knows his gospel. He went by revelation. If you turn to Acts chapter 11, these are the circumstances. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travelled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only.
Yes.
And some of them, were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke to the Grecians, to the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who when he came, and had seen the grace of God, he had seen God's work of salvation taking place in Gentiles, among Gentiles. When he had seen the grace of God, he knew it was a work of God. He knew that these Gentiles were truly saved.
Amen.
And he was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Not to works, but to the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and much people was added to the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And they came, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and they sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. There'd been a revelation from Agabus. And so Barnabas and Saul were chosen to come to Jerusalem. He wasn't coming as a check-up job on his gospel. He'd come by revelation. And they were being sent for a purpose. Isn't it wonderful? Gentiles were being saved in great number.
Yes.
Following Stephen's death. That which Paul was involved in. And they saw the grace of God. Or Barnabas saw the grace of God. People were really being saved. Gentiles were really being saved. Back to Galatians chapter 2. While he was there in Jerusalem, so this wasn't the main thrust of his visit, but while he was there, he shared the gospel that he had been proclaiming, that he had been heralding for 14 years. He shared with them the gospel, but privately. Who did he share it with? He shared the gospel with the Gentiles. But who was he sharing this gospel now, the gospel that he preached when he came into Jerusalem? He came and shared it with those that were of reputation.
Yes.
He was sharing it with the apostles. He's sharing it with those who were named later on, James, Cephas is Peter, and John. Two disciples of the Lord, Peter and John, and James, the brother of the Lord. The other James the Apostle had been executed. He was sharing it with them, privately. It can be translated separately, apart. Margin gives the version of severally, one by one, but he was sharing it privately to one side. He wasn't making a big issue, but he was sharing with them the gospel that he was preaching. Why? Not to get verification, but he says, lest I by any means should be running or had run in vain. What does he mean by that? Does he mean in case I've been preaching the wrong gospel? No, he knew the gospel he'd been preaching was right. But he didn't want to preach the gospel for others to come along, Judaizers to come along, and demand that they be circumcised first.
Yes.
To demand that the Gentiles should be circumcised. Because he knew that that would go against his own work. And if it went against his own work, and if this is what the apostles were preaching in Jerusalem, this is what he was checking out. If this is what the apostles were preaching in Jerusalem, then they were preaching a different gospel from the one he was preaching. Not the same gospel. This is what he's testing. Really, he's not testing whether he's wrong. He's testing whether they're wrong. He knows the revelation that he's got. Remember, on the whole, the apostles in Jerusalem, they'd been an experience with Peter and Cornelius, of course, but on the whole, in Jerusalem, it was a Jewish community.
Yes. who've come to the Lord. If there were Judaizers among them, they had this view that Gentiles, if they were going to come into this, had to become Jews first,
yes,
by being circumcised and then by faith.
Yes.
They didn't really have the opportunity much to voice that, because they were all Jews, they were all circumcised anyway. The problem comes when we get to Gentile territory, where Paul had been preaching the gospel, and there were those that came along from Jerusalem to the places that he'd been preaching, up north, telling them, no, you've got to be circumcised first. You've got to become Jews first. Paul came by revelation. Paul came by revelation. And he came also with Barnabas. He came by revelation. He came by Barnabas. Barnabas knew Paul, had a heart for Paul. He knew him from the beginning, from the moment he got, from the first, when he got saved. He introduced him to the brethren who were scared of him. He's come to know the Lord. He's preaching the gospel. But he came also with Titus. And Titus was a Gentile, a non-Jew. And you can feel in the back of your mind this thought coming, that he's brought Barnabas and Titus because he wants to know about the apostolic attitude towards Gentiles, and he's bringing Titus, if you like, as a test to see how they're going to react. Are they going to challenge Titus? Are they going to demand that he should be circumcised? He didn't want theoretical answers. He wanted to know how they were going to respond in the face of a believer, a Christian, Titus, who was not a Jew, who had not been circumcised.
Yes.
He wasn't interested simply in words. He wanted to see how they would act, to manifest what they would believe. Would Titus be received as a brother in the Lord? Or would they introduce other things that must be done first? And in verse 3, we get the clear explanation that neither Titus, who was with me, being a Gentile, was compelled to be circumcised. They accepted him,
yes,
as a brother in the Lord, not demanding any Jewish ritual to take place before they could receive him in. But there was a problem, you see. And in verse 4, Paul talks about the false brethren. What had happened where he had been in Gentile territory, and it was present here in Jerusalem, because they'd come from Jerusalem, but they'd not really had much of an opportunity to manifest their views amongst other Jews who were Christians. They were false brethren. That word false brethren is the Greek word which we use in English.
Yeah.
Pseudo. Pseudos. We talk about pseudo things, don't we? Artificial things. These were false brethren. They were artificial brethren. They were not genuine brethren. They were not brethren that had gone astray. They're not genuine. If they're relying on works, they can't know the salvation of God. Salvation is by grace through faith. And he says they'd slipped in unawares. The false brethren unawares brought in. They'd slipped in unawares. Unawares because they were amongst fellow Jews. They'd not been challenged. But in other areas, they'd come out to spy the liberty of those that believe in salvation through faith in Christ. By faith. They've come to spy the liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage.
Yes.
Drag us back to the law as a means of justification before God. Laws, rules, works, the glorious message of salvation, which is music in the ears of sinners who come under conviction and are brought to repentance,
yes,
who know that there is nothing they can do to save themselves and there is no good work in them, that it's good news,
yes,
that there is salvation.
Amen.
By grace through faith.
Glory.
Not what they have done, not what they have failed to do,
that's
but
right,
what God has done in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
They're
brought in bondage to laws and rules and works. You know, there are similar things in Christianity, or should I say rather, in Christendom.
Yes.
There are similar things in Christendom. Works. Strictly speaking, if you go to the Church of England, you should not be allowed to take communion unless you've been christened and, strictly speaking, confirmed. You've got to go through those ceremonies. What are they saying? Basically, you're not a Christian until that happens. The teaching is that by christening, you're brought into the church. Well, the Bible says it's by faith. By faith. By faith. That's why people will say, I am a Christian because when I was a baby, I was christened.
Yeah.
It's works. Somebody else's works, even. We can bring accusation against evangelical churches who only allow those who are signed up, registered church members of a denomination, that can do certain things. There's no such thing in the New Testament about that sort of membership. We're brought into the body of Christ by grace through faith. We've been baptized into the body of Christ. We've been baptized into the death of Christ. We've been brought into the body of Christ by faith. Praise the Lord. We're part of his church. Wherever we are, we're part of his church. It's by faith, through God's grace.
Glory.
Paul says, we did not give place to them by subjection. No, not for an hour.
You know, you've got to understand that 2,000 years ago, in the Middle East and other parts of the world, they didn't bother about, they didn't even know about seconds and minutes. An hour was a very short period of time. And you were in the first hour of the day, the second hour of the day, the third hour of the day. They didn't do quarter past and half past and five past and ten twos and all the rest of it. So if you want to translate it to the modern idea in English, I didn't give way to them for a minute, for a second.
That the truth of the gospel might continue with me. That's what Paul wanted to be absolutely sure of, that the truth of the gospel might continue with them, that they should not be dragged off the pathway into the doctrine of works. By grace, through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And when we get to verse 6, we're coming now to that fact that the gospel that Paul preached was the one and only gospel. What he wanted to know was, is the gospel that the apostles preach the one and only gospel? Or have they added other things to it? He didn't come out to be, he didn't really come to be checked out by himself, he came to check them out, even though they were apostles before him. And so verse 6 says, of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. He's talking about the apostles here, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and James the brother of the Lord. These who seem to be somewhat, he's not being dismissive of them, he's not looking down his nose at them, he's just saying that in the end, it doesn't matter who you are, how much you know, whatever experience you might have had of the Lord, in the end, it's the Lord that we need.
That's right.
And what the Lord says.
Amen.
And he says, these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat, in conference, when we were talking together, added nothing to me.
Yes.
He wasn't being conceited. He wasn't saying, they couldn't teach me anything. No, he wasn't saying that.
No.
What he was saying was, the gospel that I've been preaching, they had nothing different to add to it. They preached the same. There was nothing they could tell me that was where I've been missing out somewhere. We were preaching the same gospel. Paul, the apostles.
Yeah.
It came to great joy to Paul.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They added nothing to him in conference. He got everything that they had because he got it by revelation. They had got it by revelation from the Lord. Paul had got it by revelation from God. But contrarywise, just the opposite. When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. They could see that what Paul was ministering in his service for the Lord,
yes,
was effective and powerful. It was the same gospel, the one and only gospel, but as the same Lord, by his Spirit, and through that word of salvation, by grace through faith, worked through Peter,
yes,
so that Peter saw mighty signs and wonders and souls being saved,
yes,
Paul was also used in the same way, with the same signs and wonders, with the same power, with the same authority, amongst the Gentiles.
Yes.
The uncircumcision. And they could see that the Lord made no difference. It was the same Lord who was working,
that's right,
in all and through all. Praise the Lord.
And when James, verse 9, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, these are the ones that are of reputation that he's been talking about.
Yeah.
They seem to be pillars of the church, sound foundations, the same one and only gospel. They'd known Jesus. They'd known the Lord. They'd known him when he walked here on earth. And when they saw the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Same Lord, same word, the same Jesus. They gave them the right hands of fellowship.
Yes.
Fellowship means, the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia.
Yes.
Having things in common.
We are one with you, they're saying.
Yes.
You are one with us, we are one with you.
Yes.
We are workers together for God. Hallelujah. There's that right, the right hands of fellowship. We have everything in common with you and you with us. They gave him the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the heathen as they went unto the circumcision.
Yes.
You go to the heathen, you go to the Gentiles, we'll carry on with the Jews. It's the same Lord, it's the same salvation, it's the same gospel, it's by faith. Paul rejoiced in this great mystery, once secret, now revealed, the gospel of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And having come to Jerusalem, he's established that it's no different from the gospel the apostles are preaching. We're just preaching to different audiences, we're just preaching to different groups of people,
yes.
They to the Jews, I to the Gentiles, and neither of us will give way to the Judaizers who will come and introduce works.
Yes.
As the first step in salvation. It's by grace, through faith, not of works. In Ephesians chapter 3, a little commentary here. In Ephesians chapter 3, this is what Paul's saying. I'll limit it to 11 verses. For this cause, says Paul, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God,
yes.
Which is given me to you, would, how that by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body,
yes.
And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister, a servant, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. See, he's not thinking highly of himself. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things in Christ Jesus, to the intent that now, out of the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. This gospel is according to the eternal purpose which was purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 9, he said, I am the least of the apostles. There was no pride there, you see, in his visit to Jerusalem. There was no pride. He wasn't puffed up. He says, I am the least of the apostles, and not meet to be called an apostle, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach,
yes.
And so you believed. Whether it was I who was preaching the gospel, or they who were preaching the gospel, the apostles, you believed. It's the same gospel.
Amen.
It's the same gospel, and you so you believed. But, says say the apostles, but, say the apostles to Paul, please remember the poor. And he said, I was more than ready to do that, to remember the poor. Jesus said, the poor have the good news preached to them.
Yes.
And sometimes the poor are more ready to receive than the rich and the wealthy. Remember the poor. Remember the poor. What Paul was experiencing there in the beginning of chapter 2, the first 10 verses of chapter 2, was the confirmation that the gospel he was preaching was exactly the same as the apostles were preaching. Paul knew that the gospel he was preaching was the right gospel. I think he might have worried that the gospel the apostles were preaching was not right, but he found it was exactly the same. Hallelujah. By grace, through faith, not of works.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.